NPR.
Hey, Robert. It looks like you're cutting a lot of tan fabric there.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a Halloween costume, but all I have is this light brown color. I don't know. Maybe I can go as a graham cracker.
Oh, you could put some white pillows in there, and then you could be a s'more.
Oh, that's good. Or if I drape the fabric over me like this, I could be the desert from the movie Dune.
Love the giant sandworm vibes, but have you considered going as the beige book?
The Beige Book. You mean the bi-quarterly report of economic conditions published by the Federal Reserve and containing illuminating anecdotes about the 12 Federal Reserve districts?
Yeah, you might have to explain that to people, though.
Sure. I'll just ring the doorbell for trick-or-treat, and when they open it, I'll say, it's the Beige Awards, Halloween edition. I'm your ghost, Robert Smith.
Definitely scary, and I'm Waylon Wong. October is a time to exorcise demons, to face up to our fears. And the report known as the Beige Book has a lot of stories that might keep you under the covers at night.
Every time the Beige Book comes out, we give an award to the very best anecdote inside. The Beigey today is all treats, no tricks. After the break.
The show is supported by NPR sponsor Burrow, the furniture company that's reinventing everything you thought you knew about furniture. Get free shipping on every order, including the new Union Collection. Take $75 off your order today at burrow.com/indicator.
The Beige Book is made up of stories, little anecdotes from the 12 different Federal Reserve regions. We read it every time it comes out, and we give awards to the best entries.
Let's jump right in. The runner-up this time comes from the Richmond, Virginia branch of the Federal Reserve for a story about how fragile the labor market is right now.
This is amazing. Quote, high school and college students returning to school have been especially impactful this year. One firm reported losing 40 to 50% of its workforce when the high school opened.
Wow. It's like picture half your workforce saying, bye, I got algebra tomorrow at 7:45. I can't come in.
It shows you how stretched a lot of businesses were during the summer and how desperate they were for workers. There was another Beige Book entry from the Minneapolis Fed, and it told this amazing story about a worker, not a high school student, an actual adult, that had held 7 jobs in the last 10 months. 7 jobs. And was still promoted to supervisor.
Wow.
I know.
Makes me feel very like I haven't done anything. All of these stories were great, but the winner of the Beige Award for October is a much stranger account of how global forces can affect even the most basic of industries.
Let me open the envelope. Hey, I got scissors here.
Just cut it open.
And the Beige Award goes to the San Francisco Fed.
Yay! Accepting the award for the San Francisco Fed is Louise Oliveira. This is the second award for Louise and the San Francisco Fed.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Louise, I was fascinated by your entry in the Beige Book this month. It brought up a problem that we've talked about before on The Indicator. You say that in your district, people who grow fruits and vegetables are having this sort of macroeconomic problem.
I want to read a couple sentences here from your entry. The first one is, quote, weaker global activity and an appreciating dollar reduce demand in international markets for domestic agricultural products, especially wheat, nuts, raisins, and tree logs.
Explain to me, like, break this down economically. If you're selling raisins around the world, why is the U.S. dollar hurting you?
Oh, when the U.S. dollar gets stronger or appreciates relative to other currencies around the world, from their perspective, our raisins and nuts and et cetera have become more expensive. And that's on top of whatever inflation they're already feeling domestically in their own countries.
So if you live in Japan and you love those little red boxes of raisins, you know, it could end up being the equivalent of like $20 for you.
Yeah, I don't know the exact exchange rate, but yeah, it could be.
To be clear, I don't know what the actual price of raisins is right now in Tokyo.
Neither do I. But this is a real concern. As we've discussed before, when the dollar is strong, that's amazing for tourists who go on vacation to Europe. And it can make imports cheaper. But if you expect to sell your fruits overseas, this is a scary situation. How much will people be willing to pay for an American apple?
And speaking of apples, the second line in San Francisco's winning Beige Book entry was about how the energy crisis in Europe could affect the apple market back here in the U.S.
Here's the quote. One producer mentioned that increased energy costs in Europe have prevented European farmers from refrigerating and storing fresh fruit, increasing their immediate supply in the region and heightening competition in export markets.
And in this case, for this anecdote, it seems that the European markets sometimes refrigerate a portion of their production to sell abroad later in the year or early the next year. And we're observing less of that, according to this contact, because refrigeration costs in Europe have soared.
So that means that basically the grocery stores of Europe are awash in apples, apple fritters, apple pies, applesauce, apples everywhere. And the last thing they need are apples from the United States.
and not only in Europe, I should say, because the producers in Europe not only sell their apples domestically, but they also export them. And so global markets overall are seeing a larger supply of European apples.
The state with the largest apple crop is Washington State. And we wanted to know if the farmers there were glued to their TV sets, anxiously watching the price of gas in Poland. So we called up Aaron Clark, the vice president of Price Cold Storage in Yakima, Washington. His favorite apple?
Well, I'm an apple snob, so they're all delicious.
Oh, no, 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 no. But what do you really like? You like the Pink Lady, the Zazzle? I don't know. There's always a new one.
You know, I'm not kidding. I like all apples. I mean, I'm a fourth generation orchardist, and when they're good, they're all good. If I had to pick, I do like Honeycrisp and Pink Lady. I really like Cosmic.
Cosmic is apparently the new hot apple on the block.
It is so good. Aaron laughed when we told him about the story of European gas problems and a glut of European apples. He said there are so many issues right now they're dealing with that it's hard to spend much time worrying about any one of them.
For instance, it's been tough to find affordable containers to ship apples, and ordering new orchard equipment has been a challenge too. Aaron had to wait almost a year to get a certain tractor he needed.
I mean, it's just ridiculous how long it's taken to get stuff through ports. You know, if we're buying steel for our trellises, just getting that, getting wire, getting clips, getting all the many of the things that we need to farm all the time is something that we always took for granted. We could just go down and buy them if we ran out. But now we need to plan almost a year ahead to be able to get the necessary rolling stock and infrastructure that we're going to need to put new orchards in and just keep our existing orchards going.
And about that possible apple glut in Europe, Aaron says before you get excited for cheap apples, you should know he is expecting a limited fall harvest this year in Washington State.
You know, I would have to look at historical data, but I'm certain that we're smallest crop in probably 20 years.
Good news? Bad news?
Well, it depends who you are. If you're one of those people that don't have a crop, it's bad news. Those farms that have decent crops, I think, could do very well.
This is such a crazy business.
It is.
I literally don't know whether I should buy a bunch of apples and store them in my apartment just in case. Or
you should just buy a bunch of apples no matter. I don't care if you throw them at road signs. You should just buy a lot of apples every day is what you should do.
You would, of course, say that.
So write that down. Yeah.
Okay, did everyone catch that tip? We will pass on this info to the real writers in town, the economists at the Beige Book. Speaking of which, Luis Oliveira of the San Francisco Fed, congratulations and thank you for introducing us to the topsy-turvy world of macroeconomics and fruit.
Thank you for my team members back in San Francisco. I'm taking this back home virtually on their behalf as well.
And that's it for the Halloween edition of the Beige Awards. Don't be afraid to give out apples to trick-or-treaters and explain currency exchange rates when you do.
I'm going to do it dressed up like the witch from Snow White.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. That is terrifying.
You want an apple? You want to learn about the strong dollar, kids? Come on in.
I'm not going to your house.
This episode was produced by Brittany Cronin with engineering from Catherine Silva. Dylan Sloan checked the facts. The LA is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.